That was how I felt.
19.
How had I never gone to a typical party before? What was I supposed to wear? Sundress? Shorts and a tank top? Something fancier? Was I supposed to put on more makeup than normal? I thought about calling Lacey to ask, but I felt stupid. I should have known this stuff. Plus, she was probably busy setting up for her party. I called Cooper instead. Cooper picked up after 3 rings.
You're not bailing on this thing, are you?
No. Elliot is picking me up in an hour.
Wait, what? I thought you'd drive yourself so you wouldn't be trapped there.
I know. It was a moment of weakness. The real question is, what are you wearing?
You need to say that in a sexier voice for that line to work. Like this. What are you wearing, baby?
That last line he said low and raspy. Gross. I wasn't trying to be a pervert. I meant it for real. What are you wearing to this thing?
Oh.
I could almost see him look down at his outfit. Like he was just now, with the question, discovering what he was actually wearing.
Shorts and a t-shirt.
Not helpful.
Wear a sundress and flip-flops. Mascara, some lip gloss.
My mouth opened, and then shut again.
I pay attention to what girls wear, Abby.
Thank you. Now I need to go get ready.
I'll see you in a bit. Look for us when you guys get there.
I will. I had already planned on it. He was the conversation starter, and kept the conversation going, and knew when to end the conversation. He made being social so much easier. Elliot arrived at my door right on time. He looked nice, in a collared polo and cargo shorts. His normally untamed dark curls were styled off his forehead. My grandpa answered.
Elliot, good to see you. Come in.
He doesn't have to come in. I'm leaving, see? I stepped around my grandpa and out onto the porch. But grandpa didn't let go of the hand he'd been gripping in greeting. He pulled him inside.
Of course he does. He needs to meet your mother.
I groaned. Elliot, I'm sorry this is being made into a bigger deal than it is.
It's fine,
he said with a smile. My mom joined us in the entryway. Hi, so great to meet you, she said, giving Elliot a hug. Thanks for taking my daughter out. Yes, it is such a chore, I said. My mom playfully hit my arm. You know what I meant. Can we go now? I didn't need to be more embarrassed. Come see the living room first. People love to see the living room. It has a lot of Abby's art. Her paintings are like windows to the world. She talked while leading the way, and Elliot followed. Mom, I will get revenge for this. You might want to sleep with one eye open tonight. Elliot gave all the appropriate responses, turning a full circle to take it all in, oohing and aahing at the right times. My mom beamed. We could just stay here tonight, I said, sitting on the couch. I'm cool with that. My mom put up her hands in surrender. Okay, okay. I'm just proud. Get out of here, you two. And great to meet you, Elliot.
You too.
He smiled at me as we walked outside. I'm sorry about that. She likes to brag.
I can see why.
Not sure what to say to that. I just shrugged. Elliot drove a Jeep with no doors. After climbing in and driving up the street, I began to question my clothing choice. The wind whipping through the cab made it so I had to hold my sundress down.
Sorry,
Elliot said, noticing my challenge.
I should have put the doors on. I was trying to be cool.
I laughed. He reached into the back seat and produced a blanket.
Want to put this over your legs?
Yes, please. It helped a lot.
You look really nice, by the way.
Thank you. I occupied myself with the blanket on my lap, tugging down the side so it wrapped fully around both legs.
You really are an amazing painter,
he said after a few minutes of silence. Thank you, I decided to go with. I didn't want to have to explain how professionals saw me, underdeveloped.
Is that what you want to do after high school? Some sort of art school?
Yes, I think. That's what I'd wanted to do since I was 8. That's what I'd wanted to do until Mr. Wallace put it in my head that I might not be good enough. Now I was worried that I wouldn't make it at art school, that everyone would be better than me, that I wouldn't even get into the winter program, let alone art school after I graduated. What about you?
Yes, me too.
You too what?
I want to go to art school.
What? You paint? He had my full attention now.
No. Well, I mean, I paint a little, but I sculpt more.
He was an artist. Hadn't I told Cooper less than a month ago that my relationship goals included dating an artist? How come we haven't had any art classes together?
I do private lessons,
he said in a mumble, as if he didn't want to admit that. Oh, Mr. Private Lessons, excuse me, I teased.
I know. It sounds so pretentious.
I was just kidding. That's great. It's not like we have sculpting teachers at our high school. I'd love to see your stuff sometime.
Sure, that would be great. I'd like another artist's opinion.
Not sure my opinion amounts to much, but I do love art.
You're the most talented artist at our school. Your opinion would mean a lot.
You've seen my art at school? I asked, surprised. I hadn't seen any of his art.
I visit the art room a lot. You're good.
Now you're just throwing flattery around haphazardly. You have to be careful with that. It can get away from you. I suddenly remembered something Rachel had said, what felt like ages ago now, at the movie on the beach. Wait, did you ask my friend Rachel about my art once at Starbucks?
She told you.
I nodded. He was Mystery Boy. She had said I should ask him out, and here I was on a date with him. Not only did he appreciate my art, but he was an artist. It was like all my relationship goals in one. Was it fate?
You okay?
He asked. What? Yes. I looked to my right, away from Elliot, trying to clear my head when I saw something. He's still there.
What?
Elliot asked, understandably confused. I pointed. That man chained himself to a tree. He's been there for, like, 4 days.
Why?
Elliot asked. I guess some housing development wants to tear it down. He's trying to save it. There was a big bulldozer parked to the right of the tree that hadn't been there last time. Nobody was inside of it. It sat there like a reminder or a warning of what was about to happen. Do you think he's eaten anything, or is he starving himself as a statement, too?
I have no idea. I hope he's eaten something.
I don't know that I've ever been that passionate about... Well, anything, I said.
You can't think of anything you'd chain yourself to in order to save?
My family, of course. My friends.
Maybe.
I added that last word with a smile. But nothing that couldn't talk.
I guess I can't think of anything either,
Elliot said.
Although...
What? You thought of something? I asked when he didn't finish.
If I say it, I'm going to sound pretentious twice in one night.
Now you have to say it.
There's this sculpture I did. It took me months, and I poured my soul into it. If someone told me they were going to destroy it, I might pull out a chain. Not sure if I'd follow through to the bitter end, but I'd call their bluff for sure.
He sculpted something he was that passionate about? I let my mind travel through all the paintings I had ever done. Sure, I'd be sad if someone wanted to destroy them, but, like Mr. Wallace had been happy to point out, apparently I'd never poured my heart into a piece. See? Pretentious, he said. And I realized I hadn't responded. No, not at all. That's cool. Now I really want to see your stuff.
Now I've set your expectations way higher than they should be.
He smiled my way and then turned onto Lacey Street, which was already full of cars. I looked up and down the road until I found Cooper's car, parked on the other side. I immediately relaxed. Cooper was here, and my date was proving to be very interesting. Maybe I'd actually enjoy this night more than a night on the pier watching fireworks. Maybe this would be my new thing. We parked the car and walked up the hedge-lined path.
Abby, Lacey said when she answered the door.
And Elliot, did you come together? She raised her eyebrows.
Yes, Elliot said. Thanks for having us.
She moved aside and held her arm out.
There's food and drinks in the kitchen, and my dad is barbecuing out back.
Her house was full of people.
Just a small barbecue, huh? I asked, with a smirk. I already knew she didn't do small parties.
She shrugged.
Yeah, it got a little bigger. Let me greet a few more people, and I'll meet you out back.
Elliot and I walked through the house, which wasn't as big as I had imagined it would be from all the talk at school, but it was nicely decorated and updated. A lot of people we passed I recognized from school, but a lot I didn't. I saw Cooper across the pool, in a group of people, talking animatedly, his hands flying all around him. He must have been trying to convince his audience of whatever he was saying. That's when he'd get super animated like that.
Do you want anything to eat?
Elliot asked, nodding his head toward the barbecue off to our right. Smoke filled the air above it, accompanied by the smell of cooking meat. I'm okay for now. Do you want something?
I'm good. Look, there's Cooper. Should we go say hi?
Sure.
Abby!
Cooper yelled in excitement when he saw me. Iris was by his side, and she waved at me. I smiled back.
Everyone? Cooper announced loudly. This is Abby and Elliot.
A few people said their own names. The others I already knew.
Abby, remember that one time I pushed you into the pool at that hotel where they had the art you wanted to check out?
Cooper laughed. He'd pushed me in after we looked at their ballroom full of paintings. We'd been on our way home anyway. Then he jumped in after me, probably knowing how mad I was going to be. But we ended up splashing each other until hotel management came and kicked us out. Yes, and if you do that tonight, you are dead to me.
Someone needs to be pushed in.
He looked at Iris with a flirty eyebrow raise. No way, she said. I agree with Abby. Death. We smiled at each other. Lacey joined our group by hooking her arm in mine and laying her head on my shoulder.
I didn't know you were bringing a date tonight, she said under her breath. I was under the impression that you and Cooper...
Nope, I said just as softly back. By choice? She must have caught more of my rambling confession at the theater than she'd let on. Nope, I said. She was quiet for a moment, and I couldn't see her eyes, but I assumed she had been studying Cooper when she said... Well, he smiles too much and doesn't know how to dress anyway. I held in a laugh. Those were both things I liked about him. And Elliot is a cutie. We had mumbled this exchange quietly, but definitely not subtly. And when I glanced across at Cooper, he gave me a questioning stare. I shook my head. Then his eyes went to Lacey's arm still linked in mine, and I knew what his expression was asking. What is that all about?
Do you want a burger?
Lacey asked me, louder this time.
I want a burger.
Sure, I said. Come on, Elliot. Let's go get food. He followed after us. At a long table on the patio, we each filled our plates with chips and watermelon and burgers. Let's take this over there, Lacey said, pointing to a lounge chair under a tree that was miraculously empty. I sat at the top end of the lounge chair, and Lacey gestured for Elliot to sit on the foot end, facing me. She dragged a chair from the pool area and sat alongside us. Thanks for coming, you guys. Thanks for the invite. How did your auditions go? I asked. They went well, but that's always how I feel, so we'll see.
Auditions?
Elliot asked. She waved off his question.
It was nothing.
I should check on my guests, Lacey said.
You two have fun.
Her conspiratorial voice was back, and I knew she had planned this. Then she was gone, leaving me alone with Elliot. 20. Complete, awkward silence followed Lacey's departure. I took several big bites of burger to try and justify it. After swallowing my mouthful, I panicked. Could I really not hold a normal conversation outside my friend group? The image of that lone fish swimming toward my foot crept into my mind, and I wasn't sure why. But then I realized I was feeling the same anxiousness now. Once I had let it happen, I was fine. Just give this a chance, I told myself. Crickets literally chirped in a nearby bush, and Elliot's eyes were drawn to the sound. Then he smiled.
And the crickets break the silence.
I immediately relaxed with a laugh. Kind of ironic. He nodded to where Lacey had retreated.
For an actress, she's not very subtle, is she?
I don't think she was trying to be. Subtle is not necessarily her thing.
She got me over here alone with you, so I shouldn't be complaining.
My cheeks went pink, and his statement was followed by a long silence that I thought we had already conquered, but was apparently back for round two. I tapped on the plastic arm of the lounge chair, then ate some watermelon. What is your favorite thing to sculpt? What do you always go back to?
My favorite?
He asked.
I don't know that it's my favorite, but I sculpt a lot of trees. I think I'm trying to make the perfect one.
Do you sculpt with clay or stone?
Clay.
I've never painted a tree. Well, I mean, not as the sole subject. I've painted them as background or part of a scene. I should try a tree.
What's your favorite thing to paint?
He asked. I don't really have a favorite. I painted a sunrise recently, and that was fun.
I didn't see a sunrise in the living room.
The living room just has some of my paintings. I have a back room full of my stuff.
Why didn't you show me that?
Weren't you the one who talked about pretension?
There's a fine line between feeling like a show-off and wanting people to see your work, isn't there?
For sure, I said.
Well, I want to see it.
I smiled.
Abby.
I heard my name called from a distance. I looked over to see Cooper standing by an ice chest, holding up a can of Dr. Pepper. The patio lights were on now, and white lights were strung around trees and posts and lit the otherwise dark backyard. When had it gotten so dark? I nodded. Then he pointed at Elliot. Do you want a soda? Cooper wants to know. Elliot cupped his hands around his mouth and yelled,
Coke!
Cooper jogged around the pool and presented us with our two cans.
Coke might be a deal-breaker for Abby. She hates Coke.
I rolled my eyes. He's kidding.
So you don't hate Coke?
Elliot said. No, I hate Coke, but not a deal-breaker. Cooper cuffed Elliot on the arm, then left. We both watched him go.
That was weird.
He joined up with Iris again, and she slid her arm around his waist.
You two are really close,
Elliot said, breaking my stare. Aren't most friends?
True.
We were quiet for a time, and I tried to think of more art things to talk about. I put my plate of half-eaten food on the ground beside our chair, and he did the same. He leaned to the side, which brought him a little closer to me, and looked up at the sky. Do you know any constellations? Just the basics. Do you?
Same.
You smell good, I said. Like hair product, or dryer sheets, or something clean and fragrant.
Thanks. You do too.
It's vanilla lotion. I held up my arm, and he took it in his hand and brought it to his nose.
Like cookies, he said.
Cooper wandered back over to us, holding Iris by the hand this time, and sat down on the lounge chair that Lacey had pulled over. Iris sat down in front of him.
Abby, Iris asked how we met, and I was trying to remember the very first thing I said to you in science when you moved here.
You said, you're new, I deadpanned. I said, you're observant. He laughed.
That's right. You were always sarcastic. But then I said something really funny back.
Cooper thinks he's funnier than he is. I actually didn't remember exactly what he said when I walked into science class my first day at another new school. But I remembered he was the first person to talk to me, and we'd been friends ever since. He gasped in faux offense.
She's just jealous.
That word jolted something loose in my brain. Is that what was going on here? Why Cooper kept coming over and interrupting us? Was he jealous? That thought expanded in my chest until I felt like it would burst. I remember the first thing I heard you say, Iris said.
Oh yeah? What?
He asked. You said, if given the choice between seeing ghosts or zombies, you'd choose ghosts, because then they could tell you your future.
Ghosts don't know the future, Elliot said.
I grabbed hold of his arm. That's exactly what I said.
My ghosts would, Cooper reiterated.
When we met Iris, we were playing Would You Rather, I explained to Elliot. Well, when she met Cooper, she didn't remember me. Lacey walked up right at that moment with a couple of people in tow. We're playing Would You Rather.
We weren't, Cooper said. But we can.
Lacey sat on the end of our lounge chair, then gestured for Elliot to scoot closer to me. He did, and she settled into her spot more. The other two girls who had come with her sat on the grass at the foot of the chairs.
Do you all know Lydia and Kara?
The group greeted them.
I have one if we're playing, Elliot said. Would you rather have to jump in the pool right now or eat a live cricket?
He pointed to the bush, where I could no longer hear the insects, but I was sure they were still there. Pool, almost everyone said at once. Cooper and I looked at each other and both said, live cricket.
What?
Lacey asked with a look of disgust.
We've eaten the dried version before. A little salt and pepper, and they're golden,
Cooper said. I raised my eyebrows. Golden? He swatted his hand at me.
Don't start.
I held his sparkling eyes and laughed. I have one, Lacey said, tilting her head at me. Unrequited love, or not being able to love at all. I shot her wide eyes, but she just gave me innocent ones back.
Is it better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all? Elliot asked. Did you seriously just ask that question?
Is that a famous question? Iris asked. Tennyson, I said.
Do you really not know that age-old quote?
It sounds familiar, she said. And I think I'd rather not love at all. Unrequited love is so pathetic.
Ouch, Lacey said. I don't think it's pathetic, but very tragic. Artists use it to feed their muses. Muses are such ravenous things.
Now I couldn't help but laugh. I picked up a piece of watermelon from the plate I had abandoned on the ground next to me and threw it at her. She jumped off the end of the chair with a scream, which sent the chair teetering backward with its now uneven weight distribution. I rolled off onto the ground, and Elliot landed on top of me.
I'm so sorry, he said, pushing himself off, then helping me up. Are you okay?
I'm fine, Cooper was there, too, obviously having jumped out of his chair when ours toppled.
"You sure you're okay?"
he asked, giving me a once-over.
"Whoever said chivalry was dead?" Lacey asked.
I held my hands up.
"Boys, seriously, it was like a one-foot fall."
"I wasn't worried about the fall, just the weight that landed on you,"
Cooper said, smacking Elliot on the back playfully. I tilted my head at Cooper. He was definitely acting weird. "I'm fine." We all settled back into our spots and spent the next hour playing the game. Finally, Lacey stretched and said, "I better go see a man about some fireworks." She stood up, this time making sure we'd repositioned our weight before taking hers completely off. "Need any help?" I asked.
"Sure.
We'll be right back," she said to the rest of the group as I joined her. "The best view will be on the deck by the pool. You all might want to move there." When we were out of hearing range of the group, I said, "Are you trying to give me away?" She laughed a little.
"It was harmless.
I don't think he suspected anything.
Besides, he's here with his girlfriend."
"She is not his girlfriend. They've only been on, like, 2 dates.
"Not too serious yet, then."
"Did you notice Cooper acting different tonight?"
"I don't know him well enough to know his normal."
"Do you think it's possible that... could Cooper be... jealous of Elliot?" I said it out loud, and I sort of wanted to take it back.
"Possibly."
We walked around the side of the house toward the garage.
"Have you thought about just telling Cooper how you feel?"
"I'm trying to get over Cooper."
"Even the Cooper that may or may not be showing signs of jealousy?"
I groaned. "He's my friend, and I'll go and ruin everything. I gave him a chance, and believe me when I say it wasn't well received." She shrugged.
"Things change."
I wasn't sure if they'd changed enough. Regardless of his weird behavior, he was here with Iris, and I was here with Elliot. So tonight definitely wasn't a night for confessions. The garage was big and housed 4 cars. One had a cover over it, only shiny black wheels showing. A man, I assumed Lacey's dad, stood looking in some boxes in the corner.
"Are the fireworks ready?"
He straightened up and turned around.
"If we only shoot off a couple of the illegal ones, we should be fine. Right?"
"Abby won't turn us in," Lacey said. "I'd actually hand you both over pretty quickly with just the threat of torture."
"She's kidding," Lacey said, when he seemed worried by my statement. "Come on, we'll help you carry boxes." Between the three of us, it only took one trip to deliver the fireworks to the side of the pool. Then Lacey and I joined the others on the deck. The fireworks weren't professional city-quality ones or anything, but they were cool. And as the illegal sky rockets lit up the sky with their loud bangs of color, I noticed Cooper looking at me. He averted his gaze. Maybe things could change. 21. When I walked in the house several hours later, Mom and Grandpa were sitting in the living room pretending to watch television. "You're still awake?" I said, stopping in the entryway. "Isn't it past your bedtimes?" Mom turned off the TV.
"We wanted to see how your date went."
I sat down on the couch next to her. "It was fun. He sculpts."
"Sculpts?"
Mom asked.
"Is that a workout term?"
"No. He literally takes clay and molds it into cool things. Or at least I think they're cool. I've never seen them before." Her face lit up. "He's an artist." "But don't get your hopes up, because I'm not sure if things will go any further. The fact that I ended the night hopeful that Cooper was jealous was not the right way to start a new relationship."
Sometimes it takes a while to know if you like someone.
I know.
Well, I'm proud of you for trying. Maybe now that you saw how fun it can be, you can go out again. Or ask another boy out, Mom said.
That sounded like the worst idea in the world.
Yep, sounds like a plan. When I realized they were waiting for something more, I said, I'll just pick one of the boys lining up at the door, waiting to court me. See, I knew she was being sarcastic, my mom said.
Do you have anything to add to this interrogation, Grandpa?
I'll interview the line of boys to see who's after you for only your wealth and beauty.
I stood and kissed my mom on the cheek, then my grandpa. I'm going to bed. I love you both. Good night. The next day I woke up in the best possible way, with a Cooper text. It said,
My sister's goldfish died. We're having a ceremony. Get over here now.
I mean, I guess that wasn't exactly the best way. If the life of the goldfish could have been spared, it would have been much better. But it had happened, and he had texted me. Roger, on my way. I brushed my teeth, replaced my bed shorts for jean shorts, and headed for the door. Going to Cooper's. I'll be back later.
Okay, have fun, Mom said.
A thought occurred to me as I backtracked, grabbed my newest painting, the one of the fish, and left.
Did you even brush your hair?
Cooper asked when he answered the door.
And you slept in that tank top, didn't you? For the love of Pete, this is a memorial service.
Ha ha. He smiled and pulled me inside by the arm. He shut the door, then paused for a moment. The entryway was dim and I looked up, confused. His eyes met mine, holding them for 3 breath-stealing seconds. Then his smile brightened.
Let's go,
he said. His sister was already in the bathroom, holding the fishbowl gravely.
I think I forgot to feed him,
she whispered when she saw me. Sometimes fish just die, I said, putting my arm around her shoulder.
Especially when they don't have food,
Cooper said. And I elbowed him in the ribs. He grunted, but then added,
It's okay, Amelia. I'll get you a new one.
I don't want a new one.
Well, let's at least give this one a proper end.
Cooper gestured to the toilet.
I think it's time.
We must have a memorial first, Amelia said. Think of nice things to say.
Okay.
Cooper tapped his lips with his finger.
He was a quiet fish.
It's a girl, Amelia said. Lindsay.
Your fish's name was Lindsay?
What's wrong with Lindsay? I asked.
That's a person name. You can't name animals people names.
Says who?
I don't know. It's just a rule.
I think the most common pet name is actually Max, which makes it not a rule.
Yes, Amelia agreed. What Abby said. She likes the name Lindsay.
I do.
Abby likes everyone's name, Cooper said.
I barked out a laugh, then quickly covered my mouth.
So untrue.
It seemed like the right thing to say.
I thought we were saying things about my fish, Amelia said.
Right. Your fish.
Cooper thought for a moment.
She was quiet and kept to herself.
I sucked my lips in to keep from laughing again. I knew Amelia was upset, and I wanted to take this seriously for her. Cooper's smirk in my direction wasn't helping. I added, She was very bright, the prettiest shade of orange I've ever seen. Cooper nodded.
And Abby is an artist, so she's seen a lot of orange.
Amelia smiled.
She was a pretty color.
She looked into the bowl and her expression darkened.
Now, she's kind of gray.
What about you, Mel?
Cooper asked.
What nice things do you have to say about her?
When I left for school, she would go to the top of the bowl, like she was saying goodbye to me. I think she was smart.
For sure, I said. We stood there for several more moments, waiting for Amelia to say more. But she didn't.
Okay, it's time.
Cooper walked to the toilet and placed his finger on the handle. Amelia dumped her fish into the toilet bowl slowly, and I tried not to cringe when it landed with a plop, splattering some water onto the lid.
Bye, Lindsay, Amelia whispered.
Cooper flushed, and we all watched until she was gone. Amelia gave me a long hug, and I patted her back.
Oh, I said, I have something for you. Meet me in your room.
Cooper trailed after me as I made my way to the trunk of my car.
What do you have?
You'll see.
By the way, I think we just watched a life go out of the world,
he said.
For the list.
I stopped with a gasp, just short of opening the trunk.
You're right. We totally did. Nice.
I was smiling, and I stopped myself. I mean, not nice. Not for your sister.
It's okay, Abby. I think she'll be fine.
I opened the trunk of my car and pulled back the soft cloth from over the painting. Before I could lift out the canvas, Cooper stopped my hands.
Did you paint this?
Yes. I'm going to give it to your sister.
You can't give this to my sister.
You don't think she'll like it?
I think she'll love it, but you have to show this to Mr. Wallace. It's amazing.
It's good, but I can do better. This one is for Amelia. Mr. Wallace wanted more feelings, but this one felt like too much feeling and not enough technique.
When did you do this?
The other day, after I went to that fish spa.
This is what came out of that? Now I wish I'd gone.
It was pretty awesome. I picked up the painting.
You really are just stalling, aren't you? You don't think this is good enough because you don't want to show Mr. Wallace until you think you've reached perfection.
No, I don't think it's good enough because I didn't feel right when I was painting it.
What does that mean?
You don't know what feelings are? I asked with a smirk.
Funny.
I held up the painting. I still have 16 days until he's making final decisions, and 3 more experiences to try. If 2 more paintings don't result, I'll use this one. Don't worry. I'm going to show him.
Good, because I want this for you.
I know. Thank you. Cooper nodded and took the painting from me, carrying it the rest of the way into his house. Amelia loved it, and made him hang it on the wall above her bed right that second.
Abby, you are the best. Thank you so much. This will remind me of Lindsay when I see it.
Good. I'm glad you like it.
She might have to borrow it back in a week to show the museum director for the showcase.
Of course, Amelia said. I'll keep it safe in the meantime.
The 3 of us stood back and stared at the painting, like we were in our own art museum. Cooper put his arm around my shoulder, still looking at the painting.
My little Abby is growing up.
I rolled my eyes and pinched his side.
You always know how to ruin a moment.
And here I thought I always knew how to make a moment even better.
I sighed, but conceded.
You do.
We left Amelia in her room with the painting and headed toward the kitchen.
Last night, you and Lacey seemed...
Cooper started.
Seemed what? I asked, when he raided the pantry without continuing.
He came out with a bag of Cheetos puffs.
Isn't it a bit early for that?
He looked at the clock on the microwave.
It's 11. That's nearly lunch.
He opened the bag.
Chummy.
Chummy? You mean cheesy?
I squinted to read the bright blue print on the bag he held.
No, you and Lacey seemed chummy.
Oh, right.
When did that happen?
I don't know. I like her. We talk a little.
I thought you said you weren't friends with her.
Yeah, well, things change, I said, repeating her line from the night before. I studied his expression, tight around the eyes, but trying to play it off as uninterested. I threw my head back with a groan.
What?
He asked. You're jealous.
Yeah, maybe I am. You're supposed to be my best friend.
I swiped the bag of Cheetos from him and headed for the front door.
Where are you going?
He asked. To paint. You've given me all sorts of emotions to work with. Frustration being the main one. I had thought the night before that Cooper had been jealous of Elliot. But I was wrong. He was jealous of Lacey. That's why he'd been acting strange. That was definitely a check in the absolutely nothing has changed box. My phone buzzed in my pocket as I walked out the door. I pulled it out to read the text I already knew was from Cooper.
If I must, I will challenge Lacey to a duel.
I'll relay the message. 22. The next morning, after waking up and getting dressed, I surveyed the pantry.
Are you looking for your sugary cereal again?
Mom asked.
I think Grandpa ate it all.
No, I'm looking for a sketch pad.
In the pantry?
I already searched the rest of the house. It was my last hope. I hadn't sketched out my ideas in a long time. But when, despite my frustrations with Cooper, I was left staring at an empty canvas the day before, I knew I needed to try something different.
I think I saw one.
My mom stood up and went to a bin on the counter she put scrap paper and ads and coupons in. She dug through it and came up with a notebook.
I know it's not a sketchbook, she said. But will this work?
Beggars can't be choosers, I said, taking it from her.
That's my line,
Grandpa said. He'd just come in the sliding door from outside. He carried a watering can and a misshapen cucumber.
What are you begging for?
I waved the notebook at him. Nothing anymore. I'm going for a walk.
I don't think...
my mom started. No, I said, realizing she thought I was going to try to convince her to go with me. Alone. I want to walk alone this time.
Oh.
My mom almost looked hurt.
Okay. Have fun.
I glanced at my grandpa, who seemed just as confused by the interaction as I was. Did you want to come? I asked. She shook her head, and her normal smile was back. Not at all.
Tell Cooper we said hi,
Grandpa said, as I headed for the door. Cooper is not going with me. I really am going alone. I called back, and let the door shut behind me. I can be alone, I grumbled, walking down the steps. I wasn't sure what I was looking for. I'd shoved a few charcoal pencils in the back pocket of my shorts, and now pulled one out as I walked. I flipped to a clean page in the notebook, then waited to be inspired. I had been walking for at least 45 minutes, and all I doodled was a single bird that had been sitting on a fence. It wasn't even a very good doodle. I was about ready to give up and head back home, when across the street I saw a tree man, chain and all. I looked both ways, waited for a car to pass, then walked across. I approached him with a wave. Hi, you're still here. He pointed to the bulldozer.
I'll be here until that isn't.
He looked younger than what I had thought he was. Definitely not my grandpa's age, but maybe close to 30. It was hard to tell. His long, stringy hair was receding, leaving him a large expanse of forehead. His skin was tanned and looked slightly leathery, which made me assume that before becoming Tree Man, he was definitely Beach Man, or at the very least, Long Walks Man. Can I sit up there? Or is that missing the point? I nodded toward a low-hanging branch.
Be my guest. I used to sit up there all the time.
Like when you first started your Save the Tree mission? I asked, taking my pencils out of my back pocket and tucking them into my ponytail.
No, growing up. I have history with this tree.
Did you grow up on this lot? I set my notebook on the branch, then tried to swing up to join it. It was harder than it looked.
20 acres. My parents owned it and sold it 6 months ago. They made a verbal agreement with the purchaser that he wouldn't tear this tree down. It's 100 years old. But they didn't get it in writing, so...
That sucks.
It does. Are you a reporter?
He asked, nodding to my notebook. Oh, I was surprised by the question. No, I'm an... I paused, then finished with determination. Artist. I'm an artist. Cool, he said, like he meant it. I'd finally managed to hoist myself onto the branch and sat against the trunk, my feet dangling. Have you been getting lots of reporters?
Sadly, no. I was hoping for some buzz to get more support.
I stared up at the branches above me. They were heavy with leaves dancing in the breeze. It made the tree look alive. I pulled a pencil out of my hair and grabbed my notebook. It's a beautiful tree. When is it scheduled for death?
I'm sure they would have done the deed already if I weren't here.
Isn't there a way the housing development can build around it?
I guess when they drew up the plans, they realized the road would have to come right through here.
And the tree is in the way.
Yeah.
My conversation with Elliot came to mind. How we talked about what we loved enough to chain ourselves to. You must have some great memories that involve this tree.
I do. I have read no less than 50 books in the exact spot you are sitting.
Really? I don't think I've ever read in a tree. It seems like the best place to read, though.
Now I just knit by the tree.
There was a green reusable grocery bag by his feet that he kicked as he said this. You knit?
Yes.
I've never knit. What are you knitting? He reached down, more easily than I thought he'd be able to, being chained to a tree and all, and picked up the bag. He pulled out a multicolored hat that looked close to completion.
I'm making this.
Is knitting hard?
At first, it can be, but with practice, it gets easier.
Like most things.
Exactly.
My phone rang in my pocket, and I looked at the screen. Cooper. Hold on a sec, I told Tree Man. I didn't know his name. Why had I not asked his name? I answered the phone and said to Cooper, wait. Then to the man chained to the tree, I said, what's your name? I've been calling you Tree Man in my head. He laughed.
I'm Lance.
Lance, I'm Abby. Okay, hold on. To Cooper, I said, hey.
Who's Lance?
He asked. The man chained to the tree.
You're hanging out with Tree Man?
Yes, I'm sitting on a branch that I climbed to.
Wow.
I know.
So you're actually staying there?
Yes.
For how long?
Don't know. Until after bulldozing hours.
Bulldozing has hours?
I assume they work during the day. Gotta run, I'm sketching. I hung up before he had time to respond. Had I ever hung up on Cooper like that before? I thought about calling him back to make sure he wasn't mad about it, but didn't. I really did need to sketch. I'd call him later. For the next 30 minutes, I sat on a branch sketching, and Lance sat on the ground knitting. As my hand moved across the page,
I realized it had been a while since I hadn't felt pressure across my shoulders while creating. The pressure of expectation. I was happy. Relaxed. So I kept going. My first drawing had been of the leaves above me. Now I was focused on a 1-inch section of bark and was drawing a close-up version of it. My hand began to cramp and I stopped and stretched it. "What other stories do you have involving this tree?" I asked, filling the silence.
"My brother fell from that branch there and broke his arm."
He pointed to one above my head. "Bones should be stronger than they are, considering they're what holds us up."
"I agree. Sometimes it seems we're very fragile creatures."
On the trunk of the tree by my ear, I had noticed some carved initials. "What about this? One starts with an L. Is this you?" He didn't look up from his knitting.
"My first kiss."
"Right here? I'm sitting where momentous events happened in your life."
"That's what I'm telling you."
"Well, when I go home tonight, I will write a strongly worded letter to..." I paused. "The television station? The mayor?"
"You don't have to do that."
"It's not my cause, so I can't sit out here with you for the next month or whatever, but I am good at strongly worded letters."
"How many strongly worded letters have you written?"
"Okay, fine. It will be my first. But I wanted you to have confidence in me." He smiled.
"I have confidence in you."
I leaned my head back and looked at the tree towering above me again. "I can see what made you do this," I said. "Do you mind if I take a picture of us?"
"Sure."
I held up my camera and took a pic of the two of us, me on the branch, him right below me. I thought I'd include it in an email to my dad, but there was also someone else I wanted to send it to. Elliot. Chaining myself to a tree for my art.
"You're chained to that tree?"
he responded back almost immediately. "Not really, but I just learned the story of what made him want to and remembered your chain-worthy sculpture. I still want to see it."
"You're welcome to see my art anytime."
When I got home, I flipped through the notebook of sketches I'd done. Then I combined some of each and painted a tree with its memories. A broken branch to represent the broken bone. 2 branches twisted into a heart shape to represent the kiss. Words carved into the side for the books. And at the bottom, I painted a chain. The chain represented Lance. I used one of my bigger canvases, and the tree's branches filled every corner. Now I knew why Elliot often made trees his subject. They were gorgeous. But still, my painting was missing something, because no matter how gorgeous it was, I knew this wasn't a tree I'd chain myself to. 23. The next day, I sat on my bed with my notebook, trying to add something more personal to the sketches I'd done of the tree. I told Lance his story in my painting, but what about mine? My computer, which was sitting next to me, dinged with an instant message.
"Hey, kid."
I smiled, set the book down, and typed back. "Dad, can you video chat?"
"Calling now."
My computer rang, and I moved the arrow to the video icon. His face came up on the screen. "Your hair is so short," I said. He ran his hand over the buzz cut.
"It's hot here. Had my buddy clip it yesterday."
"Should I go get Mom, too?" I stretched up in my bed to look at the door, like she might be lurking there, waiting for the invite.
"I just got off with her. She's in her room."
I laughed. "I like how you know that and I don't."
"It's nice knowing more than you about home life every once in a while."
I smiled, and his smile slid off his face.
"How is she?"
he asked.
"She was putting on a brave face, but I'm sure you know much more about that than I do."
"She's okay. She's been on a few walks lately,
That's good. She promised me she's going to my art show.
So you're in the art show now? Your heart list worked?
Well, no, not yet. I mean, I haven't shown him my new paintings yet. I will.
I'm still not happy that Mr. Wallace said you have no heart. You have the biggest heart I know.
I blew air between my lips. You have to say that because you're my dad. And because you hardly know me. He narrowed his eyes and I laughed. Just kidding. You sort of know me.
I know you're more sarcastic then.
You went down that comparison road knowing you were going to crash and burn.
Your grandpa,
he said, finally producing an end to his sentence. Yeah, nice try. But I think Grandpa might still have me beat. He is older and much more experienced.
Speaking of your grandpa, how is he?
Still alive. A door opened and closed behind Dad, and he looked over his shoulder.
I'm so sorry,
he said back to me.
I have to go. Email me some pictures of your latest paintings. And Abby, don't let anyone tell you that you have no heart.
Thanks, Dad.
I wish I could be there for your art show.
I shrugged. There might not be an art show. I mean, I might not be in it anyway. So it's fine.
I love you,
he said. Love you too. He clicked the end button, and a grainy image of him froze on my screen for a moment. I reached out and touched the smooth surface. I was busy trying to change the bark sketch when a head appeared around my door.
Hey,
Cooper said. Who let you in? He smiled and came all the way into my room.
You're not happy to see me? Is that why you hung up on me?
I hung up on you because I was busy, I smiled.
Are you still mad at me for wanting to duel Lacey?
No. I've learned long ago that you're a dork. His eyes went to my hands.
What are you doing?
Drawing.
Drawing? When's the last time you drew?
He sat down next to me and looked at the open book.
What is it?
Bark. Up close.
Okay,
he said skeptically. He was right. It didn't look like bark anymore. It had at one point, but I'd drawn over it so many times, trying to make it cooler or better or more dynamic, that it now looked like a bunch of scribbling. I know you're impressed.
Why aren't you painting?
I was. Sort of. I'm letting my mind brainstorm. I pushed his shoulder. Now stop mocking me. I went over a line again on the page. He took the book and pencil from me and placed them on my nightstand. Hey, give them back.
I'm saving you from yourself.
I sighed. Fine. Let's do something on the list then. Maybe that would help. Cooper let himself fall onto my bed, then glanced across the room at the list and gave a noncommittal shrug. His enthusiasm over the list had been declining steadily, much to my disappointment. But I still had a show to earn my way into. I couldn't quit while there was still time. Plus, the things I was experiencing had been fun. Yesterday, after talking to Lance, I'd marked Learn a Stranger's Story off the list. I hadn't even set out to do that, and I had. Let's do the Cooper Faces of Fear one, I said.
I still haven't thought of anything for that.
Yeah, right. I'm convinced you know your biggest fear. You're just too afraid to tell me. Come on, I'm going to root it out of you. I stood and held out my hand.
That sounds painful.
I'm willing to make that sacrifice.
I meant painful for me.
I'm willing to make that sacrifice as well. He smiled.
And why do we have to leave the house to do this?
It's part of the rooting. He let me drag him to his feet and out the door. Cooper and I had a spot by the ocean. One we liked to go to that wasn't overrun with tourists. Most days,
there wasn't another soul there, mainly because it lacked what most people went to the ocean for, a beach.